But then Bishop Hotlatch gave us this image of the beatified Andrew Walter. I suspect Sabina and the boys, and even Andrew's love of his life, Maureen, will be there. It's extremely odd that I'm standing here talking to you about Andrew Walter in front of God and man and Dominicans, East and West and all. And Blessed Michael McGivney, if you see, most of my conversations with Andrew began with Andrew saying the phrase, "You don't know me." And sometimes he would say, "Now, you really don't know me today." I know, I don't know you. I've never met you. I don't even know how you got my number, I would sometimes reply. You see, I'm a journalist, so it was this endearing, if completely unnecessary, reminder that pretty much most of what we talk about was off the record, which is why I can't tell you all the story. And if, as I begged God the other day, if God chooses to raise Andrew to be for us for a little longer in the ways we are accustomed to, I'm going to have a lot of explaining to do about the talking I've been doing. Of course, I'd be happy to face that prospect. We all would. But since I'm afraid we've passed that point, I'll share something that I will never forget that really captures my friend Andrew Walter and what he was about. Sometime around June 26, 2016, based on my email and records, Andrew and I were talking about proclaiming Christ. It was a lunch conversation, I believe. I can't remember why, what we were talking about. It often had to do with some mess in the news, in the church, or politics. After he declared to me in conversation quite adamantly that we need to talk about Christ more, show Christ more, make no mistake, Christ is the center of our lives and the only one to follow, I sent him the second reading that appeared in the Liturgy of the Hours, I'm pretty sure the next morning. It was a homily about proclaiming Christ to the world. What it was confirmation to me of something I already knew. Andrew lived in the heart of the church. He fought in the heart of the church. He operated in the heart of the church. Paul VI wrote, "Not to preach the gospel would be my undoing, for Christ himself sent me as his apostle and witness. The more remote, the more difficult the assignment, the more my love of God pulls me on. I am bound to proclaim that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, because of him we come to know the God we cannot see. He is the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things find their being. Man's teacher and redeemer. He was born for us, died for us, and for us he rose from the dead. All things, all history, converges in Christ. A man of sorrow and hope, he knows us and loves us. As our friend, he stays by us throughout our lives. At the end of time, he will come to be our judge. But we also know that he will be the complete fulfillment of our lives and great happiness for all eternity. I can never cease to speak of Christ, for he is our truth and life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our bread, our source of living water, who allays our hunger and satisfies our thirst. He is our shepherd, our leader, our ideal, our comforter, and our brother. He is like us, but more perfectly human, simple, poor, humble, and yet while burdened with work, he is more patient. He spoke on our behalf, he works miracles, and he founded a new kingdom. In it, the poor are happy. Peace is the foundation of a life in common, where the pure of heart and those who mourn are uplifted and comforted. The hungry find justice, sinners are forgiven, and all discover that they are brothers. The image I present to you is the image of Jesus Christ. As Christians, you share his name. He has already made most of you his own. So once again, I repeat his name to you Christians, and I proclaim to all men, Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, Lord of the universe, the great hidden key to human history, and the part we play in it. He is the mediator, the bridge, if you will, between heaven and earth. Above all, he is the Son of Man, more perfect than any man, being also the Son of God, eternal and infinite. He is the Son of Mary, his mother on earth, more blessed than any woman. She is also our mother in the spiritual communion of the mystical body. Remember, it is Jesus Christ I preach day in and day out. His name I will see echo and re-echo for all time, even to the ends of the earth. Blessed Paul's six words pretty much capture Andrew Walther, a great man and a great friend. My brothers and sisters, Andrew Walther wasn't Pope, he wasn't a preacher, but he communicated Christ. He imitated Christ. Someone asked me the other day how Andrew managed to suffer through the cancer. I think it was simply, in a way, he had work to do. He looked to Christ. He took up his cross and he persevered. And he loved his family with everything in him and will continue to do so with an even greater power in the time to come. I have no doubt. Andrew wasn't extraordinary because he saved lives the world away, which, oh, by the way, he did. He was extraordinary because he took Christ seriously. Last week, I was here at St. Mary's, right above where Andrew's tomb is now, celebrating Cousin Michael, who gave me beatification. I brought along the new history of the Knights of Columbus that Andrew and Maureen so beautifully put together. I seemed to be clinging at it at one point, as if to physically acknowledge that Andrew wasn't here. He was so devoted to Father McGinley and his cause and mission, it didn't seem right not to have him here. The first thing I did was pray at Father McGinley's tomb for a miracle for Andrew, who was on a ventilator not so far away. That miracle of physical healing wasn't granted, as we all know. But sometimes in these days, I think the message of God is, trust me, in God we trust. I don't want to face life without Andrew, as I know we all feel. He was the one I could talk to about myriad things, including sometimes when I knew more than I wanted about the situation in politics of the church. I knew he knew more, and so he wouldn't be scandalized. His faith was more than rock solid. I hear God reminding me these days, in God we trust. God puts amazing men like Andrew and women like Maureen and their wonderful Frederick, Raphael, Gregory, and Sabina to remind us of what life is all about. It's about living for God, imitating Christ, and following the Holy Spirit. And what a gift Andrew and your whole family is. I know that this can be an inconsolable moment, especially for parents and siblings, and of course, Maureen and the children. But know that the love that you gave him, he poured forth in union with God. That's the stuff of saints. That's the kind of model of a Christian man that can make us better. Thank you for sharing your husband, your dad, your son, your brother with us, and all the world. I literally traveled vast amounts of the world with Andrew. I saw a lot of him at hours early and late and in between. He wasn't flawless, but saints aren't flawless. That's a common myth. Father John Paul Walker described Andrew as a Saint Joseph figure, which I love. I do believe he was protecting the church itself, as Joseph would the Blessed Mother Jesus. What a friend to have. God rest his soul and please Andrew, when the time comes, if he hasn't already, intercede for us, for we're feeling a bit unprepared for what's to come without you. Thanks be to God for our faith, and thanks be to God for the life of Andrew Walther and his eternal life that is just now beginning. God is raising him to greater glory. Blessed Father, forgive me, pray for us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. And please let us know when Andrew has seen the face of God the Father.